And there are some myths out there. One of the common myths about habits is that it takes 21 days to create a habit. And it's just not true. Some habits might require 21 days, but there are not any habits that I know of that if you go 20 days and you stop, you're not going to have a habit. But if you go 21, you will have a habit. Hello, and thanks for listening. I'm Jason Sparks. This is Sparking Spiritual Growth. Thanks for tuning in on the Gospel Radio Network. In Daniel chapter 6, we read about a situation where the king was thinking about making Daniel head over an entire region. And politically, he had opponents that didn't want him to have that kind of power. Of course, they're looking out for themselves. And they're trying to find a way to trap him. But Daniel's a righteous man, and so it's very difficult for them to find anything to accuse him of. But they did know that he had a certain habit that they could use, and they knew that he would always maintain that habit no matter what. So they went to the king and convinced him that he needed to make a decree that no one could pray unless they prayed to him. That is, for 30 days, they weren't allowed to ask any god for anything. They could only go to the king and ask. And so he agreed to that. For whatever reason, they convinced him that this was a good thing to do. And so he made the decree. They knew exactly what was going to happen. They knew that every day, Daniel went 3 times a day and he prayed. And he prayed so that people could see. He was in his upper room, but this was the place he was, and everyone could see it. And he fell down on his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed and he gave thanks. And he'd been doing this all of his life. And it was a habit that was firmly rooted. And in fact, it was such an incredibly rooted habit that they knew that he wouldn't give it up. So they had run into him evidently in the past. They had seen how he acts. They knew that this was going to be something that he wouldn't change. And good for him. But this is how he wound up being thrown into the den of lions. And we all heard this. Well, if you grew up in the church, you heard stories about this. You even had coloring pictures of Daniel in the lion's den. I remember coloring them as a little child. And, you know, we see him and he's standing there, and in the way it's depicted in the book is he's not touched at all by these animals. And that's exactly what happened. And of course, the people who were the accusers, they ended up being thrown in instead. And he was released because the lions weren't going to do anything because God protected him. The story is a great story. And it, of course, it's a true story. And it's about faith. And it's about a man who was saved by God because of his faith. But it's also a story of habits. And it's an important one for us. And it gives us some insight into our own selves and our own lives and how important habits are for us. And this is something that he was convicted to do. It's not something that was commanded necessarily. There were passages that talked about how that if they were in a foreign land, they needed to pray toward Jerusalem, that kind of thing. But it wasn't something that they had to do 3 times a day, and it wasn't something that they had to do so that everyone could see or anything like that. But Daniel, it's not that necessarily he was showing off or, you know, doing it to be seen, but he simply did the same thing every day and people noticed, they saw it, and he wasn't going to hide it because that's who he was. He was a man of God and he was convicted and to do those things. You know, habits are such an important part of our lives. And if we grow as Christians, it's going to be because we have habits that we put into place that are good habits and strong habits. And we need to be very careful about the habits that we create, right? We know that they are very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Other translations have other words besides habits. The idea there is maybe character. But I know that habits is a part of the discussion, so I want to focus in on that. Bad company can corrupt good habits. So not only do we have to create good habits, we also have to protect those habits. And that's what Paul was talking about. And our influence, the influence of our habits, is the company that we keep. So they can encourage us or maybe discourage us from doing what is right and encourage us to do what is wrong or to give up habits that we know we should be doing. And so I want to talk today about the habits that we have, how to create habits, how to change habits, and motivations that we have, everything that we can think of that relates to habits. And hopefully this will be an encouragement to you so that you can go in and build better habits and that you can be a better person for you. You know, the things that you do on a daily basis, that determines who you are. It's not the grand things that we always think of, you know, I'm going to do one big thing with my life. And there's nothing wrong with trying to do something big, but really the influence that we have, the most power that we have are those things that we do on a daily basis, every single day, day in and day out. And I talk a lot about this when I'm dealing with other people. I'm trying to help them see, listen, habits are the key. This is where you need to be. These will make you or break you. And so we need to develop them. So we create habits, and it's a very important process that we go through to create them. And there's some myths out there. One of the common myths about habits is that it takes 21 days to create a habit. And it's just not true. Some habits might require 21 days, but there are not any habits that I know of that if you go 20 days and you stop, you're not going to have a habit. But if you go 21, you will have a habit. It's not quite that cut and dry. I think that's more of a round number. It may be kind of an average of what someone thought would happen. But I know one thing for sure. Some habits don't take very long to form at all, and some habits take a long time to form. Why is it that the habits that are the best habits seem to be the one that's the hardest to form? Have you noticed that? But I'll illustrate this. So how many days in a row did you have to touch a hot stove before you develop the habit of not touching the hot stove? It took you one time of touching a hot stove before you learned the lesson, right? And I realize that's a little bit different, but it still illustrates a point. You can create a habit very quickly if you change your mindset. And there are certain ways that you can do it. There are certain principles that can help you to have the power to create new habits. And that's what I want to focus in on. First one is intentionality. That was, we are going to be very intentional about what we're going to do. That means that we are going to be very specific. It also means that we are going to be in that specificity, we're going to be so specific that we're going to define it in the simplest of terms. And that means that we're also going to, related to that, we're going to do the things in the simplest way. So a good habit might be to go for a walk. That's a very simple idea, and it's a very easy habit to build because it's simple. And the easier it is for us to go for a walk, the more likely it is for us to develop that habit, right? So it's got to be something that we can do on a daily basis, and it's got to be something that can be done easily so that we can build on it. I think the temptation sometimes is to build a huge habit or to do something big or do something massive every single day. Now, you may get to where you do that, but especially if you're learning how to develop habits, you start small. And the thing is as you do it and as you get better at it, as it becomes more and more ingrained in your psyche and more and more ingrained in your everyday life, so that it becomes more and more automatic, you can add to it. And before long, you're doing more and more. When I first started walking, this was when I'm taking it seriously. I got sick with COVID and kind of was a little bit of a wake-up call for me. I needed to get healthier. And so I started walking whenever I had the chance. Got the doctor, said, okay, you need to start exercising now. I walked the first day, I walked a third of a mile, and oh man, that was tough. And the reason I did it was because I couldn't do anything else, for one, which was kind of a benefit for me. Because the second reason is because I knew I needed to start small. And now when I go out, I do still do some walking. You know, there are several days a week where I just walk. That's all I do, is I just walk. And it's recovery days, because the other days I'm running. Now, if I would have tried to go out and run that first day, there's no possible way I'd have done it. Well, I could have taken three steps, but I was so out of breath from walking that I probably would have been discouraged. And then I would also look at it and say, I can only take three steps. What's the use, right? So The point is to do something simple, something that you believe you can do on a daily basis. Be intentional about it. Be very specific about it. Not only what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, how much of it you're going to do, how you're going to keep track of it. You need to have a very detailed plan in place so that you know, okay, today is the day. Today at this particular time, I'm going to do this for this amount of time, and I'm as detailed as possible. That's part of the process, and that's part of making your brain see this as something that's normal and something it's going to continue to do on a daily basis. Then you also have part of that, and that is part of that is the process of getting it done, right? So when you go out for a walk, for example, I didn't just decide one day, I'm just going to start walking today. I decided, okay, this is something I'm going to do every day, which was the intentionality, and it's also a process. So I knew I was going to get up early in the morning, and I was going to put my clothes on and put my shoes on and go out for the walk, right? So I'm thinking in my head, and I know this is oversimplification, but this is an important principle when you're trying to do other things that are not nearly as simple, right? So you're trying to develop a process for how you're going to do these things. Another example would be if you're going to read through the Bible. You not only need to know what you're going to do, have some intentionality, have a plan. This is how much I'm going to read. Also have a plan for this is how I'm going to do it. The process is I'm going to turn the television off at a certain time, or I'm going to wake up at a certain time, or whatever the process is. You need to work that out so that the reading itself is not the habit. The process becomes the habit. And that's a very important idea in how to develop a good habit. Another one is the pleasure pain principle. And that is that we all operate on this principle. We avoid pain and we pursue pleasure. And that's generally how we live. And it's an oversimplification, but when we're developing habits, it's a great way to look at it. So when you're thinking about developing a habit, you need to consider the pains that you're trying to avoid. For me with walking, it was I'm going to go out and walk because I don't want to have an early grave. I don't want to sit on the couch all the time because I can't breathe. I was, you know, taking four steps and having to stop and catch my breath because my oxygen was so low. I did not want to live that way. I didn't want to have heart problems. I didn't want to continue to have diabetes. There are a lot of things that I didn't want to have happen. And so now I'm trying to get away from that by doing the exercise, by walking. So I listed the things that I didn't want anymore. And I also listed the things that I wanted. So the pleasure principle is there's pulling me toward it. We generally react more to the things that we don't want than we do the things that we want. But I don't want you to miss that part. The things that we want, those are what will compel us and pull us along. And both of those work very well together. So I'm leaving one thing and I'm pursuing another thing. What is it that I'm pursuing? What is it that you're going to do? What is it? How's it going to feel whenever you reach your goal? What goal do you have? Those kinds of questions need to be asked. And that will help you to create a habit because your brain will start to think in different terms. Instead of, oh, I don't really want to go, you can think of, you know what I really don't want? I may not want to go out and go for a walk or for a run. I mean, just yesterday, I was fighting the same kind of idea. I didn't want to get out and do it. Actually, this morning, come to think of it, I didn't want to get out and do it. And yet, at the same time, I knew that there was a list of things that I also didn't want. I didn't want to have, and I started going through a whole list of things I didn't want. It's like, okay, I can go out for a little bit. And then I started thinking of the things that I did want. And that really helped me get out the door because while I didn't do as much as I wanted to do, I did more than I was going to do, right? So that's something to consider when you're thinking about creating habits. You need a process and you also need the pleasure pain principle. And you also need to think about supplemental habits that are going to develop. So whenever I started walking, I also then, when I came in from the walk, I realized, you know, I could probably eat some breakfast. I don't eat breakfast. I was not a breakfast person. I had breakfast when I was growing up, but when I got into high school and outside of high school, I have hardly had any breakfast. But I eat breakfast almost every morning now because it's a supplemental habit. And it's something that I really have come to enjoy. And whenever I miss the exercise, so, you know, if I'm sick or something happened, I have to do it later in the day or something like that, I miss not only the exercise, but I also miss having breakfast and several other little habits that I've developed that all work together. And, you know, walking really doesn't have anything to do with eating breakfast or vice versa, but I've kind of lumped them together by the process. And so that's part of developing a habit. If I stop my habit, I have a lot of other things that I really enjoy that I'm also going to stop, which means that I'm going to be less likely to stop because it's going to push me forward. And it's one of those things in a long list of things that I don't want to happen. I don't want to miss breakfast. I don't want to gain weight again, all kinds of things related to that. And not only that, it's a supplemental habit, but we also have these little extra habits, these small habits that relate to the habit that we're creating that we may not even be aware of. You're going to develop habits that you don't know are going to be there, you don't know are going to develop, and you'll look up and say, oh, you got a lot of nice little habits that relate directly to the habit that you're doing. And it's, you know, you can call it like a keystone habit. This is something that is used to build a lot of other things, and it builds a framework. You know, we go out walking, for example, I'm learning then to develop a habit of having better posture, because that's what I focus on when I'm walking and running, so that I can breathe better. And that's carried over into other parts of my life. And now my posture's improving quite a bit. There are a lot of things that are little bitty things like that my whole life has improved because I have this situation now where I'm doing something that's developing a lot of other things. And yet again, it's one of those the pain pleasure principle where I think about, oh, I'm giving up a lot of things if I give up this habit. But if I don't give up this habit and I'm out there, I can get to enjoy a lot of these different things. So anyway, that's what I wanted you to think about today when you think about habits. And I also want you to understand, related to what we talked about earlier with Daniel, is that the number one thing, I think, for developing a habit is to develop a conviction. And that is a firm belief that you are going to do this no matter what. That's what conviction is all about. That's what faith is about. Now, there's no command, for example, there's no command for me in the Bible. There's no command for me to go out and walk. I think that there is a principle that tells me I need to be as healthy as possible so that I can serve God better and I can serve other people better. But whether I do it by walking or bike riding or whatever, it doesn't really matter. It's kind of up to me, isn't it? And that's the same with you. Whatever habit you develop, it needs to be something, though, that you are convicted that it's the right thing to do. And how do you know? Well, with exercise, there are only so many possibilities, right? And your age will determine some of those things, that kind of thing. But if you're thinking in the spiritual realm, for example, you're thinking about, for example, maybe how to develop patience. There are a lot of different ways that you can approach that. And the best way to figure out how to develop that fruit of the Spirit that's mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, the best way to figure out how to do that is to figure out what you're good at, to look at your strengths, to consider your personality, to consider your opportunities and your skills and your talents, and ask the question that needs to be asked: how can I put these to use in the right way and in the best way so that I'm the most effective in producing fruit? And when you figure that out, then you can put those things into practice. And this relates to all parts of life, but the spiritual part of, you know, our spirituality affects every part of our lives, or it should. And if it doesn't, then we're being imbalanced. So even your job is affected by your spirituality. It's affected by who you are on the inside. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things apply to every situation in life. And the more you develop those things, the better your life is going to be in those different areas. And that's exactly what we need to do in developing habits. my habit of walking, for example, is not just a habit of walking so that I can, you know, lose weight. It's not just trimming fat. And it's not necessarily even to live longer or feel better. I have that habit of walking and exercising because I use my body to serve God and I serve other people. And the healthier I am, or at least, you know, maintaining health as best that I can, allows me to do more, allows me to be more productive and to be more fruitful in the things that I'm doing. So that's how my health relates. The same thing relates to finances. I try to trim things as much as possible. I try to live within my means. I'm trying to my best to manage my money in the best ways so that I can use it to serve God by serving other people. And when you think of it in that concept, in that way, then it's a lot easier for you to develop a habit, because all of a sudden it's a bigger picture. When you see the bigger picture of life and you see how that all the pieces of your life work together, it gives you a tremendous amount of power to create habits, a tremendous amount of power to do things and to motivate yourself and to have that self-control that we all want and to have that patience that we all want, but sometimes it feels like we can't have. The reason for that is because you're not focused in the right direction. You have parts of your life that are scattered. You're trying to pursue seven different things at once instead of pursuing one thing with your life and having all seven parts of your life pointing in that direction. That's the secret to building lifelong habits that will help you and serve you, that are going to be good. And when you develop those ideas, you can have a strong conviction that you're doing what is best, that you're doing what is right. And that's something that you have to develop within yourself. I have a purpose in life. My purpose is to serve God by serving other people, to help them grow closer to God one step at a time. And I do that through social media, through coaching, through counseling, through preaching, a lot of things that I do. I create content and I'm interacting with people for the specific purpose of helping them take one step closer to God. Those are things that I have learned to develop and do. It's based on my talents and my skills, the opportunities that I have. All those things have come into play there so that I know I have a strong conviction that God wants me to be on this podcast doing things, not necessarily because it's a podcast, but because this is my opportunity. This is what I know that I can do. And I spent a lot of my life talking about things that I couldn't do and worried about things that I couldn't do and convincing myself I couldn't do. And I've learned over the years that I've got to have a conviction of these are things that I can do and that I will do. And when you have that kind of conviction, you're going to create habits. It's going to be very powerful for you. That same kind of mentality, it's in the opposite extreme, is the opposite way, is how we come to the point of not touching a hot stove. We touch it once and it burns us. We want nothing to do with it. And you're very passionate. It would be, if I came to you and grabbed your hand and tried to make you touch that stove, you're going to be very passionately fighting against that, aren't you? We need the same kind of conviction in the positive sense, that if you stand in front of me and you try to prevent me from doing what I know I should be doing, and I have decided this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, this is what God has given me the opportunity to do, and even though it's not a directly stated thing from God that I have to do this, it is something that I have to do. When you have that kind of conviction, obstacles don't stand in your way anymore, because just like you fight against someone putting your hand to the hot stove, you're going to fight for what you believe in. And the only way to have that kind of conviction is to have all the parts of your life pointing in the same direction and to be convinced, to convince yourself in many different ways that you're going to do what you know you should be doing, that this is why you're here, and there's nothing going to stand in your way, and there's nothing going to stop you. And when you have that kind of mentality, the sky's the limit. You see, you don't have to worry about if you know, the attitude that you have, nothing's going to stop me. Because first of all, God is not going to stop you. If you're doing what is right and you're living out the life that he has given you, he's given you a whole life on a silver platter. And he's shown you, he's given you objectives. He's given you skills and abilities and talents and opportunities. And all these things are simply laid out for you on a silver platter. And we have the audacity to look at him and say, I just don't know what I want to do with my life. It's right there. Just take it and run with it. Because when you do, you're going to create so many lifelong habits that are going to be such good for you and be such good things for other people. You have no idea what is in your future. I don't either. But I do know that we have a God who has given us many opportunities and he's going to be there for us. And this is what we see with the book of Daniel. With Daniel, who was told he couldn't pray. And instead of going up to his room and shutting the doors and hiding behind it, he said, hey, watch this. And he went up and he prayed. And when obstacles come in your way and the people tell you you shouldn't do. Now, if they're telling you not to do sin, that's one thing. But if they're telling you don't do this, it makes them uncomfortable. Maybe they don't think it'll work, or maybe they're scared for you. The thing is if you will be convicted to do what you should do and to be who you are and you develop those habits, if you have a conviction to do those things day after day after day, there's nothing that's going to be able to stop you. You can be just like Daniel with that. And when people say you can't do that, the first response you ought to be is, okay, watch. Now, I heard a proverb, and I don't know if it's, you know, it's supposedly an old Chinese proverb, may have been. But it said, those who say it can't be done should never stand in the way of those who are doing it, whatever it is. And I would say to you today, whatever it is that you believe that God wants for you to do in your life, that is the development of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all those things, there are no laws against those things. How are you going to live them out? What is it going to take for you to live those things? That's what Christianity, that's what life is all about. And I would love to help you with that. If you have any questions, just let me know. You can email me, jason@sparksmore.com, and I'll be happy to sit down with you and talk to you about this kind of thing, because it's my passion in life to help you figure out what you should be doing with your life. And I know that there are answers, and I know that you can find it out. And I also know that I can help encourage you to be the person that you need to be. Or if you have any other comments or questions, please let me know. Let's look at our own lives, and let's build something amazing together.